We're privileged to read further from God's Word this morning from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And we'll read three sections of that psalm, beginning at verse 57 to verse 80. Our text will be verse 66, which says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." And you notice the first two words of that text are, "Teach me." And every song that we sing this morning has the phrase, "Teach me," in it. As we keep singing, take notice of that. It's the posture of God's people, "Teach me." But let's read this section, Psalm 119, verse 57 to verse 80. The psalmist says there, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed." So far the reading of God's holy, inspired word. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, it's September 1 today. And just saying that reminds us all, doesn't it, that the summer is past and a new school season is begun, or beginning. For the most part, holiday time is over. And this month we return again to the normal routine of daily life. What we want to focus on this September 1st Sunday morning is Psalm 119, verse 66. What does the believing psalmist state there, and actually pray there? He prays, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." The word knowledge here refers to the right perception of all truth as God gives it to us. And the word judgment refers to the good, wise, and even tasteful, happy application of all God's truth in our whole life, in our conduct, every day. Are not good judgment and true knowledge, or you might say wise discernment and real knowledge, so connected together? And both most needed in our lives, shall we live with purpose and promise everlasting. As one commented, no school but the school of Christ, no teaching but the teaching of the Spirit can ever give us this good judgment and knowledge in our lives. What reasons to pray this prayer? Teach me good judgment and knowledge. And notice the psalmist says further, for I believe your commandments. The verb tense in the original speaks of, you have caused me to believe and to keep on believing your commandments. And the verb believe in the Hebrew is the word amen, from which we get the word amen. And that by itself tells us the psalmist's view of God's word. He says amen to all of Scripture in his heart and life. He knows God's word is the truth and the way to live. The psalmist testifies, being taught of God, that his word and will is right, and that wisdom's way is shown us there alone, from start to finish. And isn't this what every Christian confesses and acknowledges? Psalm 119, you may know, is the longest psalm in the Bible, which poetically and memorably expresses both the believer's trust in the preciousness of God's word and his hearty devotion to that word and to the God of that word. The aim and care of the sermon this morning is that Psalm 119, verse 66, be your and my prayer in our life as we begin another season. Yes, whatever your age or your situation, I think of the children going back to school and the youth going to college and university. I think of parents raising their family. I think of those in our daily employments and those facing new situations. Those going also through challenging times for all kinds of reasons. Whether in a situation of sickness or health, poverty or wealth, joy or sadness, singleness or marriage. Here's a prayer to pray. Yes, a constantly fitting prayer. Don't you think? Teach me, Lord, good judgment and knowledge. For I believe, I have believed, and I continue to believe your commandments. Our sermon theme is Psalm 119, verse 66. A constantly fitting prayer. So timely, telling, necessary, and blessed. With our first point about this prayer being so timely, just consider the first two words. Teach me. In the Hebrew, it's intensive. It's almost like, please teach me. With the children and youth returning to school, and with us in a couple weeks starting our new church education program, isn't it always timely to pray, teach me? Does anyone here, whether 5 years old or 70 years old or 18 years old or 35 years old, not see reason always to pray, teach me? Students at school or when homeschooling, your teachers will be teaching you. And how good when you are students who reflect a humble teach me attitude. We know the good teachers also are those who themselves have this same mindset of always seeking to learn more, always being teachable themselves, shall they teach others. Only fools reflect and act as if they don't need to be taught anything, because, well, they know everything already. Who of us sometimes hasn't acted in that kind of foolish way? Sad to say. How good when you and I say, teach me, especially in reference to all God's truth and gospel way. Do you have a humble, sincere, teach me attitude in your heart? And does that show in your life too, by God's grace and Spirit? How timely also is this prayer when we consider the confusing times in which we live in today. As even this day in our society and city of Calgary, we see many people living sadly and madly, following their own foolish, sinful, dark, and evil ways, refusing to see the miserable end and wickedness and emptiness and utter blindness of their ways. What reasons to pray then to God? Teach me. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. How we need to see through, don't we, the wickedness of our times and judge it in the light of God's word and in view of the eternal judgment to come? As we think of the secular and ungodly, pluralistic and hedonistic philosophies and viewpoints of life in our day, as expressed, for example, in the relentless false teaching of evolution and the same-sex marriage and gender dysphoria and with murderous abortion and so-called end-of-life health care promoting euthanasia. What reasons don't you agree to call on God in the way of Psalm 119, verse 66? Teach us, Lord, the way of your word, that we may see through all this wickedness and folly for what it is, and that we say no to it all and yes to all God's unchanging truth as given us in all his word. Sadly, even churches are caving into the folly of our day instead of seeing God's word as being everlasting truth for all generations. But let's go deeper even and think just how in each of our lives every day, ourselves, all of us, can we not so quickly and easily go astray? Can't we and don't we all too often yet make decisions and follow practices which are most unwise and very foolish, very self-centered, and even obviously sinful? The natural man, depraved and corrupted in sin, always is without true knowledge of God and without wise discernment concerning all things good and eternal. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 23, we read of Solomon even testifying, "I said I will be wise, but it was far from me." Have you learned this yet? How of yourself, on your own, you are bound to act in ignorance and not to show wise judgment, but to live and die in utter foolishness and blindness of your sins and sinfulness? Oh, if you and I only would stop to think and to pray the timely prayer of our text before our every thought and word and deed, would it not keep us from so much evil and so much harm? When you pray in truth, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments," won't that help you and I see matters through to their end and to say no to that tempting sinful practice or that sinful relationship or that ungodly habit or that lustful pursuit? Every sinful thought, word, and deed in our lives gives evidence, doesn't it, for this constantly fitting prayer and how always timely it is in each of our lives. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. How many of us can't reflect with shame, acknowledging, if only I had prayed this prayer in truth, what sins and what hardships and trials and disappointments and sorrows and difficulties I could have been spared and could have spared others. And what honor I would have paid to God instead of dishonor. Oh, as the years go by, dear congregation, we learn the importance of this prayer doesn't diminish when it's well. No, but it continues daily so till our last breath. The Bible gives many examples of those who seemed to start off well, but then became proud and worldly and lived more by their own thinking and their own ways, the way of carnal mankind, rather than by God's word and will. I think of Adam and Eve. They listened to the devil instead of the good judgment and knowledge of God and his word. I think of King Saul, who miserably went by his own whims instead of by what Samuel instructed him from God's word. I think of David, who went by his lustful desires and cravings rather than by God's commandments, which he knew were right and true. King Solomon too, he fell in folly and wickedness so much when allowing himself to be ensnared by women and fame and forgetting God's word. King Rehoboam, he showed such ignorance and lack of discernment when he listened to the false counsel of his ungodly youthful friends rather than the wise counsel of his elder statesmen. King Jehoshaphat, he showed such foolish judgment when compromising with wicked Ahab in different ways. And it resulted in so much trouble down the road, affecting so many negatively in all kinds of ways and bringing dishonor to God's cause. Peter showed such fearful lack of understanding and good judgment when he denied his master 3 times. And oh, what sorrow and sadness it brought him. Judas Iscariot showed such a sinful, blind mindset when he betrayed Jesus, even with a kiss, and refused to follow him as only Savior and Lord. Demas, a one-time co-worker on the missionary team of the Apostle Paul, he demonstrated such short-sighted judgment and lack of true knowledge when he forsook the faith, looking instead to the fleeting treasures of this passing world. Well, I could go on, couldn't I? Giving more examples of people failing to show wise discernment and true understanding in life. Sad examples I could give also from today, but you can think of your own. And when you look at your own life, you see enough evidence. And you get the point, right? How timely this constantly fitting prayer. Teach me good judgment and understanding and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Are you convinced and convicted it's timely also for you to pray this prayer? Do you pray, and will you pray it in spirit and truth before God today and every day this new week and this new season in our lives? How can September and the fall season of 2019 be truly blessed in any and all of our lives without Psalm 119, verse 66, as your and my prayer and care every day again? Here, let us move to our second main point. Noticing this is not only an always timely prayer, but an ever-telling prayer too. And with this point, what we need to see is that this prayer of Psalm 119, verse 66, and similar petitions to God, it's actually what marks or describes every true child of God. This prayer is telling because it tells what is the prayer and care and commitment of God's true people. When we are born again and true Christians before God and our neighbor, it will show. And you and I realizing and praying this prayer repeatedly. We know it's only God's true people who have learned to believe God's commandments, as the text mentions, to cherish God's commandments, to know them to be right and true and good. By nature, we don't believe God's commandments are good. And of ourselves, we live only always in enmity against God and our neighbor. The Bible teaches it. History proves it. When people dispute this as the reality of the fallen human race, they are simply ignoring and stubbornly discounting even the news reports of each and every day. I mean, think of the ongoing unrest in Hong Kong, the unceasing war situation in the Middle East, the ongoing violence. Again, yesterday in Texas, with more shootings and killings, and so much thievery. Our society's lost its moorings as mankind is let go in their sins and sinfulness. Oh, God made the world all good and beautiful in the beginning, we know, including our first parents. But with Adam and Eve inexcusably rebelling in sin and listening to the devil instead of God, all became spoiled and corrupted now, through and through. But the good news, congregation of the gospel, is that already in Genesis, God shows and gives himself as the God who's out to seek and to save sinners like us. So we know he sent his only begotten Son as the second Adam to accomplish full and free salvation on behalf of all his elect people, even for as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And God's true people believe God's commandments as part of the whole gospel message and as part of all of scripture revelation, as revealed also to us in Psalm 119. And focusing on the commandments of God, we know by them, thank God, he convicts us of our sins and sinfulness. And he shows us our need of the one and only Savior from sin. And God's people believe the commandments of God because they point us ultimately to the Savior, Jesus Christ, as our one and only hope of salvation. The commandments of God, they forever justly condemn us, left to ourselves. But when we, by God's grace and Spirit, in faith, look to Jesus, we find the God-given deliverer, the God-promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who fulfilled the law perfectly in his people's place, even as he paid the full punishment for sin we deserve for all our sins and sinfulness. Therefore, in and with this Savior, come to seek and to save sinners like us, is found for us everlasting righteousness and complete salvation before God. Looking to him, trusting in him, and coming to know this Christ by law and gospel, God's people also learn how good and precious and right and true are all God's precepts and commandments to live by. Yet even when God's people know this and confess this sincerely and heartily, isn't it true? You come to experience and realize as well what reasons for the constantly fitting prayer of Psalm 119:66. Teach me. Teach me is a frequent prayer of God's true people because, you see, we learn from the Word and from painful experience how foolish and wayward we can be still, even as Christians, on our own, time and again. In Psalm 119, which is the testimony of a godly man, likely David, he prays to God, teach me, many times. Even three times in the sections of this psalm that we read, and many more times in the whole psalm. And notice this true believer doesn't focus on, teach others, Lord. Make sure to teach them out there. Teach those people in that row behind me or in that row in front of me. No. But he says, teach me. Congregation, have you learned? Never are we in a right frame of mind and heart without the prayer and care. Teach me, O God. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, sweet and wise discernment, and perceptive and enriching knowledge to help me keep from sinful and foolish temptations and foolish, regrettable ways, even God-dishonoring and neighbor-harming words and decisions and practices. Even Paul said, you know, as a converted man, Lord, what I find so often is what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. And are we just so weak and so foolish in and of ourselves, so easily and quickly led astray, left to ourselves? The more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more we will see how right and urgent to pray what the psalmist prays in our text. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. The prayer is telling in that it describes the life of humble dependency and Christian understanding on the part of a true believer. The more you know yourself, and the more you know the gospel and the goodness of God's word, and the importance and urgency of being a faithful Christian witness in and from our lives, the more you will experience and demonstrate Psalm 119:66 is such a constantly fitting prayer, so timely and so telling. I mean, don't we need it in regards to the whole of our life and all the details of our life? Can we not so easily misinterpret things and wrongly perceive and wrongly respond to God's word and fail to be what we should be and could be in life's responsibilities and challenges? Am I wrong to say how we can show such mistaken and even false judgments and poor knowledge in our daily habits? Even in our eating and drinking? And what about in our relationships? In our priorities? In our communications? With our finances? In our decisions and goals? In our entertainment choices? And with the books and magazines we read, and the websites we go on, and the way we do devotions, in our church attendance, and in our commitments, in our marriage, in our parenting, in our work as consistory, in our plans and goals and choices, and you name it. So God's true people can be known. Humbly and heartily praying in true faith and repentance often, even on a daily basis, the words of our text or similar to it. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. When we meditate on this verse further, don't we have to say, surely this prayer was much the prayer of the Lord Jesus when here on earth. All scriptures testify of him, and this verse does too. In his human nature, Jesus had to learn good judgment and knowledge. He had to learn it as he grew up in all his life. And he learned it by constantly praying. Even as he perfectly believed and followed all God's commandments and word. Jesus exercised such steadfast faith and obedience in his life in answer to his daily prayers as he grew up in wisdom and stature before God and men. Yes, as he prayed for good judgment and knowledge, as he went on from day to day as a child and youth and young man. He prayed it even when he was rejected and despised by others. So that instead of lashing out at them, he loved them and continued serving as Savior. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when tried and tempted not to take the cup of God's wrath in the place of sinners like us, Jesus, in good judgment and in knowledge, persevered in faith, even as he looked to God for help, saying, not my will be done, but your will be done, O Lord. And even when hanging on the cross, we know, and suffering the outpouring of God's wrath for sin, Jesus didn't lose trust in God, his Father, and in his word, that he might persevere to the end as the all-sufficient Savior of sinners, as the crucified and risen Redeemer. Without a doubt, it's because Jesus prayed truly and steadfastly, also this text of the Old Testament, that he was enabled to persevere in great confidence. So that we know what is stated, it was his experience in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, that he might be, and forever there is, the everlasting, triumphant, gracious, glorious Savior of sinners for all who trust and follow him. How telling. Really astonishingly so, how much this one verse actually details and describes the essence and the exercise of the Christian life. That we don't live by sight, but by faith. And we don't go by man's ideas, even the majority opinions of people, no, but by God's word. God's true people, receiving true knowledge and discernment from God, learn and grow on in learning an eternal perspective in all life's brief journey here and now on this earth. And think here of Moses for an example of this, of whom we read in Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 27, showing good judgment and true knowledge. By faith, we read there, when he became of age, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, referring, of course, to the Lord his God. In this verse, congregation, Psalm 119, 66, is this verse a scripture prayer and care that you see as timely and telling also in your life, each one here this morning? When it is so, surely another way that this verse is telling in the life of God's people is that it is not just words when truly prayed, but it shows in our actions. And what I mean here is, when you and I truly pray to God, as revealed in all his word, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments, then that shows also in you and I placing ourselves regularly under God's word and taking care to benefit from it, from the teaching and preaching of God's word as granted to us in the worship services and with the various classes in our church life. How true what one commentator wrote in this regard, quote, "None can be said sincerely to ask for good judgment and knowledge who do not diligently improve or make use of all the means of obtaining it." And that just makes so much sense, doesn't it? If you honestly pray Psalm 119, verse 66, and see it as so timely and telling, it must show in you being steadfast and faithful in the means of grace, and in attending church regularly, and looking to fit it in your schedule, if at all possible, to attend one or more of the weekly classes to learn more of the Bible and the doctrines and ways of God's Word. When you and I are sloppy and careless and inconsistent in this matter, this is not a good sign that it's well with your soul and that you are praying Psalm 119, verse 66. In connection with that, let me just say here too, with Lord's Supper next Sunday, here, God willing, this afternoon we have a preparatory service. And to decide now already that you likely will not be attending the afternoon service without valid reason, absenting yourself, but you still expect to be at Holy Communion, does that show good judgment and knowledge? For the Bible exhorts, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And it warns us, as we shall learn also this afternoon, about wrongly attending the Lord's Supper. Not for the better, but for the worse. That's in the Bible. And we shouldn't just shrug it off as irrelevant to us. And what I'm urging here then is that you apply this text, we apply this text, Psalm 119, verse 66, also to our church practices and connection with Lord's Supper even. And doesn't it make sense to make this application even this morning? "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." Blessed are they that hear, we read in the Bible, and hear God's word and do it. And you know how often the Bible warns against those who are just hearers only and not doers thereof. I think here of Revelation 1:3, where we read, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." And here we come to our third main point about how necessary is this prayer of Psalm 119, verse 66. It's a constantly fitting prayer, so timely, telling, and necessary. When with necessary, we could say also urgent. As life speeds by, how necessary and urgent that you and I learn to pray for true understanding and right discernment in all our ways, all our days. Because if God by his Spirit and Word doesn't give us that, won't it mean remaining in our sins? And when we are Christians, won't it mean bungling through our life, not being the witnesses we're called to be, not living to God's praise and for the good of others as the Lord would have us do? While I was on vacation at my former church where I served as pastor, I learned of a covenant youth there who's turning his back on God and his ways. And instead of following God, God's word, he's going by his own judgments and opinions, and he's refusing to hear God's word and will. And he's gone through some real trials and knocks, but he's still refusing to listen, to submit. How much we will have to answer for, congregation, when we are raised under the word in the covenant context and we reject it. Set it at naught, as we read in Proverbs 1, or disdain God's loving counsel, not willing to listen, refusing to submit. How sad this is, for to live and die that way means to perish ultimately under the everlasting wrath of God. Proverbs 1 even speaks of the Lord righteously laughing at our calamity in that final day if here and now we simply refuse and stubbornly will not bow the knee before him and his gospel word and will. Don't we all know if we will not listen to God's word, our life becomes kind of useless. We're like that salt that's unsalted then, like that candle that has a bushel over top of it. How dangerous for us to go on even a week longer in any sin, refusing to hear and listen to God's word. Today is the day of salvation. We may come to the Lord. Don't live by the deceitfulness of sin, but ask him for good judgment and instruction and knowledge, that you be wise unto salvation and in true service and love to God, while it's yet the day of grace. Yes, because let's notice our fourth point yet. How blessed is this prayer, Psalm 119, 66, and all who sincerely and repeatedly pray it. You know what? It's a prayer most blessed because God answers prayer. We've seen it this summer again in different ways. He answers prayer. And those who humbly and heartily ask him for good judgment and Christian discernment, along with true knowledge of God, and they receive it from him out of his fullness, grace for grace. Think here of the promise we read in James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And who will not agree? Those who live showing good judgment and knowledge of God's true salvation, loving his commandments, well, they are people so blessed of God. And they are people such a blessing to others. In Proverbs 2, we are told, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, you will not be put to shame. Because the Lord, for his own name's sake, he gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Looking to him and his word, he promises, Proverbs 2, verse 11, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Yes, and then by God's word and spirit, in you and with you, you know what? Instead of living sinful, ungodly, self-centered lives, we learn to live by God's grace and spirit, holy lives, godly lives, in wisdom and knowledge, in true love to God and our neighbor. When we have Psalm 119, verse 66, as our daily prayer and testimony, we don't live aimlessly, but purposefully. We don't live foolishly, but wisely. We don't live being useless, but being useful. And then we don't live miserably and unhappily and complainingly either, but rather hopefully and joyfully and thankfully. Yes, even in the valley of the shadow of death, when that comes. Oh, bless the schools and the churches and the countries and the governments where our text is a daily prayer and care. How it would change Ottawa and Edmonton and our country. What changes for good it would bring in our families and churches and land if this text was lived by and out of in all our lives. No one here could rightly deny this. And oh, that we all would truly promote this in each and all our lives. As one put it well, quote, a man or woman, girl or boy, who has learned godly discernment by experience and has thus become a person, younger or older, of sound judgment, is such a valuable member of a church and such a blessing, a citizen of a country. and a means of much edification to others. Let all who would be greatly useful offer this prayer of this verse truly and repeatedly. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Congregation, we have no reason for good hope and confidence looking ahead without this prayer of our text. But with it, as you're my prayer, can we not trust God the Savior to lead us safely and surely onward, forward, and heavenward, even in spite of ourselves, blessing us and making us a blessing? Yes, as stated in Psalm 60, through God we will do valiantly, for he shall tread down our enemies. And what do we read in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and following? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the fear of the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Beloved congregation, God means here what he says in his word. You know that too, don't you? So let me conclude, just simply urging for this constantly fitting prayer, also as we begin a new season. This prayer of Psalm 119, verse 66, so timely, telling, necessary, and blessed. I know, personally, it's a prayer I can't afford to ignore, not even for a second. Not only in regards to myself as the years go by, but also in regards to you all, shall I truly be a faithful pastor and teacher among you and a blessing to you as another season begins. Oh, shall we all be persuaded of the same, each one personally and all of us together. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to each one of us now here in this church, this September 1st, 2019. In Jesus' name. Amen.